Just before I get started, I want to just ask this question. Have many of you watched this week or are going to be planning and watching a Christmas movie? Yeah? Yeah, you're like, duh, of course, Kevin. Or do you have it, is it part of your tradition to watch a Christmas movie? One of Sharon's aunts, Auntie Lynn, or as our kids like to call her, Auntie Chocolate, because they live in France, but right beside Switzerland. And so when they come visit, she brings like the good stuff. And the kids are like, oh, this is Auntie Chocolate. But what Auntie Chocolate does, she's also anti-movie. Not anti-movie, but anti-movie. She sends us Christmas movies every year during Christmas. We still have a Blu-ray player. It can also play DVDs. I think I still have a VHS underneath our stairs somewhere. But she sent us, over the last 12, 15 years, she sent us a movie, Christmas movie, each year. That maybe some of you know the sounds of these. Charlie Brown's Christmas. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. You gotta watch it. Just so you know, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Google it, find it, ask if you can borrow ours. We'll lend you our VHS. It's really good. Unbelievable. It's Jim Hemmingson, and so it's like a Muppets. It's really good. Not many people know about it. It's a little jewel for you. It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, Elf, The Muppet Scrooge, and many others. As I was preparing for this sermon this week, I was reflecting on some of the ads that I was seeing in a new movie that's coming out, which is actually an old story. Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Then, as I was thinking about this, when we're talking about joy, then Mayal brings home, she has like a letter log that she brings home every week, and so something that she's done, and she writes a little thing in it, and then myself or Elliot or Sharon, we write back in it, and then we journal back and forth. It's a great little activity that the school does. And she then did this freehand picture of the Grinch, if you can see this, where I was like, oh, man. First of all, I'm like, wow, it's good. I can't do that. And I guess the teacher probably shows them how to do it, and they do it. When I was her age, I would take a thin piece of paper and, like, trace, you know. That's how I was able to draw. But as I looked at this picture, the Grinch, it was interesting that this is the week that we are to light the joy candle. We're planning on hopefully going to see the Grinch at some point in the movies to be reminded of this. And there's something about the character, the Grinch, and I'm making the assumption that most everyone knows the story. If you don't, you'll miss out on about 3 minutes here. I'm not going to go in and explain the story to you. But there's something about the Grinch that we're actually drawn to. Not just the movie, but the character here, the Grinch. In fact, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a church in Maple Ridge that instead of, different churches do outreaches for families to be able to do it. And there's been years past that churches have done like pictures with Santa or pictures with baby Jesus. I don't know if that's actually a thing, but maybe we should try that. I don't know. That might be strange. But there's a church in Maple Ridge that for a couple of years they did pictures with the Grinch. And so they went and got this Grinch character, and they did a whole thing, and they were like, what would it look like? And it was this little church of maybe like under 100 people. Well, they had over 250 community families that came. They didn't know what to do. They had way too much. They thought they could do it like in an hour, and they had to, I think it went like 4 or 5 hours. And everyone wanted their picture with the Grinch. It's interesting. There's something that we're drawn to about the character of the Grinch that we can all identify. Maybe it's with the loneliness that he feels. Maybe it's his hard heart. Maybe it's the way he looks at the who's with contempt. because he doesn't have the joy that they do. I wonder, for me, we're drawn to this story, not just because, I think when I was younger, I kind of was like, the Grinch, that guy needs to change. And it was more of like, oh, bad Grinch. Now it's more like, I'm kind of like him sometimes. I think my own heart can be hardened. And then there's this interesting thing that happens, that he's surprised by joy through the generous love and acceptance of a little child. I want to just let you sit with that for a minute. That he is surprised by the joy and acceptance and love by a little child. Okay, audience participation. When you think of the word joy, what images come to mind, or what thoughts come to mind? I'll give you a couple minutes and I want you to call that out. When you think of the word joy, we're done with the Grinch for a bit. We'll come back to him. Okay, there is a reason why we do this, but let's talk about joy here for a little bit. We're lighting the joy candle. What are some images, or some thoughts or words that come to mind? Freedom. Yeah. I won't. That was a story. I'm not going to. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Others. A bubbling brook. Yeah, joy. What else? Homecomings. Yeah. What else? What? Apple pie. Have you had my apple pie? Oh, my goodness. Okay. One day you will have my apple pie and be joyful. What else comes to mind? Children playing, right? Oh, there's a beautiful sound of that. And also see, what else comes to mind?
Tears.
Tears. Tears of joy. That phrase, right? Yeah. Or the laughter, yes. Laughter. What else? Pardon? Light. Yeah. Light busting in the darkness. Or maybe it's just even a flicker. Hope and joy. Anyone else? Springtime. Newness. The dead is over. The rain's gone. Well, we need the rain to be able to, but this idea that, oh, something's busting through. Yeah. Joy. Well, the reality is that as we talk about hope, peace, joy, next week, Paul's going to be speaking on love, and Christmas Eve, which is usually Christmas Day, but we have a Christmas Eve service that we talk about the Christ candle. And as we light these, when we talk about joy, the reality of life is that it's full of all kinds of experiences. Not just joy, as we all know. Laughter, heartaches, hurt, pain, adventure, sadness, fear, and joy. And maybe, this is maybe why we're drawn to the story of the Grinch, because we know that we're like him in many ways, and we're longing to be surprised by joy at some point in our lives. And maybe today, maybe this week. The Christian calendar starts with Advent. We talked about that during our first week in Hope. I won't unpack that too much, but I know some people were really excited about how I was excited about the church calendar. I'll let you maybe go and listen to that at some point, but it's really beautiful. The idea that the church calendar exists because it reflects the life of Jesus. There's this longing and waiting for the birth of Jesus to come. There's now the incarnation that God's with us. There's a bit of ordinary time that we kind of go, oh, okay, let's try to unpack that God is God, who is way out there, is now with us. And then there's this part of Lent that's for 40 days that talks about struggle, the hard parts of life that we actually just have to endure and do it faithfully. Then there's Easter, And Easter isn't just a day. Easter is like 40, 50 days, right? 40 days, and then there's this time of Pentecost, right? And then it's that time of kind of reflecting and going, Easter? God was with us? When he was with us, he actually bore the same sorrow and pain that we walked through? Huh? He died on the cross? What? And then Easter is like, he rose again? Okay, what does that mean now? And so it takes sometimes a while for us to understand that. I alluded to the Emmaus Road where Jesus is walking with these disciples who are all down in dismay going, ugh, life is just terrible. Our Messiah is dead. And he's like, really? And then there's a whole lot of ordinary life that happens again, like over 100 days, that happens again until Advent. And the story continues because it revolves around the person, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus. This is why we celebrate Advent. It's because the life, death, resurrection of Jesus. And during Advent, the Christian calendar starts with Advent. It is a time of longing for God to act, waiting for him to move into history to come near. That God would fully reveal himself to humanity, and also in all of the circumstances that we might find ourselves in even now. And it's rooted in the story of Israel, which, thank you, Aaron, the story of a people of God that people have chosen. He chose this people to be able to reflect who he was so that all of people would understand and know that is a God that is with them. It's interesting when you said, anyone know Israel? And we're like, okay, it's the people. And then I thought, oh yeah, I think there's this name, right? Anyone know what the name of Israel actually means? It was Jacob, and then he changed his name to Israel. Why did that name get changed? Struggle, wrestle. The name Israel means wrestling with God, struggle. That's good news. I'm pretty sure that's good news. And so we find ourselves, this story that's rooted in the people of Israel, and now we find ourselves saying yes. We join them in that story. And so I want us to spend a bit of time in an ancient poem, a psalm, 126. It's a song, it's a psalm, it's a poem. It would be a liturgy that comes right from ancient Israel. A poem that these people would have experienced all kinds of fortunes and misfortunes as they attempted to follow their God. Would you read with me? When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the nation said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. A bit of crying here today. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. This is a song, a psalm that's embedded into the life of Israel, that they would have read, they would have sung it, they would have chanted it in their story. And it's this longing for God to come and act now. Because they had seen him act. And they remember what he has done for them. There's this remembering. We're going to come back to this. Also, we'll spend a bit of time in it. But so on the back of your program, that scripture's on the back of your program. And it's divided quite purposely for a reason that I'm going to chat with us a little bit. The Psalms, which is this worship book of Israel, Walter Brueggemann, who's an Old Testament scholar, spends lots of time in the Psalms. He talks about how the Psalms and all of reflect life, where there's Psalms that are securely orientated, meaning this is what I know. God is here. He's with me. This is what I know. Then there's Psalms, and it can happen within the Psalm and all the Psalms. Then there's some Psalms that are painfully disorientated or disorientating. When it's like, oh my goodness, like this is happening. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And then you have this part where it's surprisingly reorientated or reorientating. And I went, some of us might look at that flow and say, I've experienced that in my life today, this week. And so as we read this psalm here, we see that it starts and it's securely orientated in what God has done for them. And as we know the story of Israel that we've been looking in Exodus, we've kind of been living there for the last while, that God was continuing to remind himself who they were. And would you continue to be faithful to me? And God was showing up. And now you find this point that they're remembering. They're saying, ah. And in this psalm, you have this remembering at the top, the first three verses. There's this remembering. You have this longing for God to act, the last three verses. And what is jammed right in the middle? This is when you just jump out and say it. It's what joy. What joy. We have to pay attention to that. It means that some of us might be experiencing, oh, this is God. God is so good. You're experiencing it right now. This joy that you're experiencing. It's here. It's present. It's now. And we know that some of us are experiencing the longing of Advent. The longing that God would act and be present with us now. Saying, God, we remember this, but we want to see it happen here now. And so there's this beautiful part in the psalm where it starts with this remembering, and then there's this what joy, or we rejoiced, we went on singing. You can look up all kinds of different translations. And then this other part going, Some translations will say, but there's still people in exile. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Where there's probably, they're in desert land, they're waiting and longing for the rain to come. But they're faithfully going to do this toil of the soil with the faith and hope that in the midst of the